7 p.m. I'd like to welcome everyone to the May 19th, 2016 meeting of the Design Review Board. First item on tonight's agenda is roll call.
Chair Tolini.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Krasinski.
Here.
Board Member Cousins.
Here. Yeah.
And Board Members Chong and Emberson are absent.
Next item on the agenda is oral communications. Should there be anything anyone would like to bring to our attention that is not on tonight's agenda, this is the opportunity to do so. Seeing none, staff briefing is next.
Yeah, we have a couple of updates. The application for 2225 Esauzo East was withdrawn today, so there's no need to consider the resolution of denial. We anticipate that they're looking to submit a revised application sometime in the future. If anybody's here for 2 Audrey Court, that's been continued to the June 2nd meeting. And then the application for 65 Reed Ranch Road, the appeal has also been withdrawn for that application. So it will not be continued to June 2nd.
All right, good job knocking out stuff we need to do. We previously had next on the agenda the consent, or I should say the resolution of denial for 2225 Esauzo East. That's been withdrawn. We'll skip that. 2 Audrey has been continued. 65 Reed Ranch has been continued. Next item on tonight's agenda is 686 Hillary Drive. We'll let the homeowner come up and take up to 20 minutes if you'd like. We may have a couple questions, and then we'll invite members of the public up after that.
Is this on? So actually, I'm the designer, and I'll be speaking on behalf of the owners. 686 Hillary, we are...
You could just state your name for the record.
Oh, sure. My name's Matthew Waitkus, and MW Design. I am the owner and the designer of this project. So a little background. This is a 226-square-foot addition to a house at 686 Hillary. And it's a little hard to see here, but I did a little recap of the statistics of the property. It's a 7,600 square foot lot. Our variances that we're going in for are a lot coverage and a setback variance. Our allowable lot coverage is 2,280 square feet, which is 30%. The current house is 1,808 square feet, with the garage is 308, plus we have a deck in the back that sits above grade by 3 feet that covers 281 square feet, so we added that to the lot coverage as well, which gives us a total lot coverage, current total lot coverage of 2,397, or 31.5. Once you add in the proposed addition, it's an additional 226 square feet, which brings us to 2,623, or 34.5%. With the setback variance, the proposed addition is going to the front of the house, the area colored in pink at the bottom. We're keeping it as a one-story, as you need to do in this neighborhood, so we're not blocking anybody's view up the hill. By putting it in the front of the house where the existing master bedroom is, we will be going over the setback line by 3 feet 5 inches. What we are proposing is it's an addition to the master bedroom, which we're increasing the size of the master bedroom, is giving a little bit more space in there. We're creating a master closet, and there's an existing bathroom in there that we're putting a stall shower into. The aesthetics of the house, the middle drawing is the current look of the house, and the top drawing is what we're proposing, so there isn't a significant difference in the design. Basically, we're just pulling the front of the house out. We want to align it with the front of the garage, so that, again, gives you that having the, it creates the setback limitation there. What else? I think that's about it. These are, we had the story poles erected, so you can see, this picture is actually taken from across the street in their driveway, so you can see that there are no view issues with this at all. And then this is taken from the driveway, so you see where the extent of the addition is going. And then this last picture is just, this is where we're getting that additional coverage of the deck, where we're having the issue where we're going over in the lot coverage. This portion of the, this back portion of the deck, which spans a significant part of the backyard, sits above grade by 3 feet at certain areas. So. That wraps it up.
Anyone have any questions? Thanks. Are there any public comments on 686 Hillary? Seeing none, we usually give you up to 5 minutes to respond to public comments. Folks are light, you know, short-winded tonight, so I think we'll close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the board. And who'd like to start?
First, I was a little confused by the staff report.
I hope you got the corrected version in the email I sent.
Yeah, oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the one that was, the printed version in the packet was incorrect. I apologize for that. There was inadvertent error in the printing of that. We were able to make the findings for both the variances, so we sent you a corrected version of that.
Okay.
So maybe I'll turn it over to Gordon and let John.
No, I'm okay.
Jim. All right.
I'm okay. I figured something happened because there were things that didn't jive. It is very similar to other additions that we have done here, and they're 25% under the floor area. Happened to be a little over on the coverage, and if you just take the deck out, it's only like 31%. So in terms of the massing on the coverage, it's just not that much. I can make the findings. Then I'm sure I would agree with what staff were. Yeah.
Gordon?
Yes, I mean, I went to see the site. I think the, given that it's you want to keep it as a single-story building, that this extension is relatively minor. It's still well below the floor area, and I don't think that the extension on the front has any real impact on any of the other neighbors, and is in keeping with other developments in the site, so I didn't have any objections to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only, I agree with everything that both of you said, and I did visit the site and also saw the revised and restated staff memo. The only thing that just gave me a little pause is that I didn't see a compelling reason necessarily that, the left-hand flank would need to come out as far as it did. I mean, I do appreciate symmetry, but then, you know, that pop-out window box is actually going to come out, I think, more than the garage. So, you know, I don't see any compelling reason for it, but at the same time, you know, looking around the neighborhood, I do imminently think that it fits in, and also appreciate that, you know, there's practical difficulty aside from the lot being small, there's also the fact that the road curves a bit, you know, against them, if you will. And in addition to that, you know, the lot being, 25% roughly below the zoning standard is, yet another factor. And then lastly, I mean, this is a site where, like all the others on this street, the property line is substantially off of the curb as it is. I think it's got to be 8 or 9 feet between the curb and the lot line. So, certainly the spirit of the setback is honored, I think, and then some, because from the curb, it's well over 20 feet. So I think we're all in the same place. Who'd like to make a motion?
Relative to 686 Hillary Drive, we find that it's exempt from CEQA, and I make a motion to approve it as presented with staff's conditions.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. So, for that, it's approved. Do you care to have the extra sets of plans for getting out the contractors or anything?
Okay.
Sure. We just recycle them anyway. Next item in tonight's agenda will be 173 Stewart Drive, so we'll give you a minute or two to set up and transition. Yeah, whatever you want.
I'm Joe Farrell, architect for the one project at 173 Stewart. And Anne, are you going to present a staff report or? I would imagine, as board members, you've seen this project several times. I don't know if all you have, but this project has come before this commission several times, and in each time we've kind of reduced the size and scope of it, or the previous designer. I just got on board with this last iteration of design. First, the home, we've reduced, previously the home was asking for a floor area exception and a coverage variance. Now we are at the point where we've reduced the scope and size of the project as to meet the development standards. And we've met with the neighbors, and we've tried to address as many concerns as possible. Most recently, we just met at the site just an hour before this meeting, and to review the story poles and with their, where there was concern of their height. And after meeting with a neighbor, we determined that we're not quite sure if they're correct. So we will need to, I'm going to need to meet with the surveyor to confirm the elevations of those poles. So, and we could do that. But that saying, I'd like to go through the design so we can get your review. The changes to address the previous comments of the board, we eliminated, well, here, let's just go through the plans. Here is the site plan. Here's the site plan, and this latest design is similar to it in the shaded areas are the new areas. Previously, one of the biggest opposition issues with this plan was there was a large projection of addition out the northwest side of the building that was very visible to the neighbors on Sierra Court. We've pulled that back significantly. We do extend out slightly on the upper level only. The lower level is no addition at all. In fact, this existing building cantilever is about 18 inches. On that corner, we've actually pulled it back so there's no more cantilever. So we're actually losing some floor area at the upper level at that corner and kind of swapping it to there. This area right here is an addition that is to create a three-bedroom area. We needed to add on. We took the mass and space there, and we're proposing to add it to the back side of the hill where it's less visible and just less visible of the mass and size of it. And then once we were extending the living areas out here and the kitchen in these two areas. We've developed another patio design. The existing fence and so forth is out into the right of way. We're pulling everything back and creating a patio. This property is very limited on outdoor use area because of the nature of the corner lot and the topography dropping down. So we've really tried to do our best to create a site design with a fence and gate area to create some privacy for this patio area. It's going to have to serve as their outdoor use area as well as their entry. So this is kind of a super important outdoor use area. There's an existing deck here that projects out several more feet than this. We're proposing that deck come out and that outdoor use area be further behind it. Previous designs had decks that extended out on the end of this building. We've eliminated that and concentrated that outdoor use area on the patio to the southeast. Here are some details of kind of fences and site walls. We're also proposing to modify the driveway slightly to swing it a little bit wider to get some more space to approach the, it's a fairly steep driveway. Here in the upper level, you can see kind of this is the area we pulled it back significantly to create a master bath. We've created a three-bedroom home here, and we've tried to put all of the living area really at the upper level. And then we have a staircase down to a lower level, which is where the existing garage is, and we're creating a new laundry room, mud room, down at the lower level. This is a the exterior elevations. The building is this is a view from the street. Well, actually, the view from the street is a little bit different because we'll have fences here. But this is essentially, we have stucco, some Ipe siding, standing seam metal roofs. And the building is higher, and once again, going back, the story poles, I think, are reflecting a little bit, the actual story poles installed are a little bit taller than what they should actually be, and we'll confirm that. Downstairs, this is the side that faces the Sierra Court, the driveway going up, and the garage where it's at. This projection of the family room comes out over it some. Here's the side that faces the end of Sierra Court. This is where a very large addition once was that came down the hill considerably. Now we've pulled that back and just project slightly for this master bathroom up above. The back side, which is up against the hill, is relatively modest and steps down the hill so forth. Here's a view of the street with the Ipe fencing and a gate. And we have a patio here with a glass railing because the views are really nice down towards the city, so forth. So we propose glass railing. One of the things we went over with Dan during this process was the fact that there's a lot of the floor area was all up at the top, and we did study a solution of trying to put some of the floor area downstairs. One of the issues we ran into is very problematic. We're basically proposing that the structure come down to the floor, and then everything get built up from there above. We wanted to salvage the foundation and the lower story as much as possible, and the floor frame, and then build up from there. Instead of putting additional floor area downstairs, we didn't want to go out because we read the neighborhood. They didn't want anything out here, so we didn't do that. In order to get a functional garage with this steep driveway that peels at an angle off, we really needed to keep it here. If we wanted to put bedrooms downstairs here, we would have a little bit of issue with sill heights, getting out bedrooms along this wall because the grades are coming up. But we would have to pull the garage significantly out towards the street, which would get into the setback line, and we would need to lower the garage significantly to transition the slope of the driveway adequately into the garage. So it wasn't really feasible to pull this garage out forward. And then in addition, if we were to put any of the living space here, that would require major excavation. I mean, we're essentially saying tear the whole building down at that point if we were to put any floor area here. So it really was, considering the topography, the fact that it's a corner lot, and the configuration of an existing driveway, it really kind of forced us to really look at this as, let's make one living area up here and make the lower level more utilitarian. We really did make an attempt to study it, but we kept coming back to trying to fit these three bedrooms up here in a nice single-story living area. The height of the structure, we have, per the previous designs, we have reduced the height of the structure several feet on this side, on the side that faces, and we've kept the overall height of the building lower than it was in the previous designs. We do have a slight increase in height here, but we still are within the height limit. The landscape plan, I believe you have it there. I haven't put it up, but The landscape architect's not here tonight, unfortunately, but we did strive our best on this corner of the property to do significant screening of the end of this building. And fire department required removal of many of these pine trees because they didn't meet the requirements of the defensible space. But we've provided additional landscape to screen the building all around. And I think that's about it. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
No questions.
Thank you.
Public comments on 173 Stewart Drive. And the format will be that we'll give you up to 3 minutes, and then after we take all public comments, we'll give the applicant a chance to come back up to address any questions, concerns, for up to 5 minutes. Thanks.
Good evening. Vivian Sack, 175 Stewart Drive. A few months ago in February, I believe, we went to review the new design, and I have to say I'm very happy because it was a big, big change from the previous two designs from before. And my problem was the height of the building, which was blocking the view from my kitchen, and actually mostly the upper level of my house, the living room, the kitchen. But the new design, I have to say I'm pretty pleased with it because the height has come lower, much lower. So I don't, I have to say I cannot complain anymore because it looks pretty good. And that was my main concern when I came here. But the problem right now is the poles that they just put on 2 days ago, which is, I'm sure it's going to affect all of us, all the neighbors, including me, and which I'm told that if they were incorrect, hopefully they're incorrect, because they're really high. At first, like 5-6 days ago, they put on the poles, which looked good, you know, it was okay. But now, like 2 days ago, they came and they put it, it looks really high. Like, you know, it's just, I don't think it's, it doesn't look right to any of us. So that's the only thing I can say. I'm very pleased with the design, and hopefully this matter will be solved. And we probably meet again. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Other public comments? Clock hasn't started yet.
My name is Lori James, and I live at 170 Stewart Drive. And first of all, I want to thank Matthew and Joe, because I've written in the past week about the concern about the story poles that were recently erected. And they were kind enough to come and meet with us, with my brother Ken James and myself, prior to the meeting tonight. My concern, a couple things just for the board, try to be quick, is that we hadn't really seen anything on what was happening with the project, and then all of a sudden had the story pools kind of go up just last week, and basically almost like a week before this meeting, and then have them readjusted on Monday. It's only a couple days before a meeting, so it is difficult for neighbors to really get a perspective and have time to give a thoughtful feedback to the board in regards to the story poll. So if there's any chance in the future to have a little bit more time, that would be great. Obviously, our main concern was the height of these story poles. We looked at the plans and we looked at, and I know Joe probably went over it, but if you just looked at what the existing height of the ridge was at 132.75, and then you looked at the proposed elevation height on page a 2.2 at 133.75, it really looked like that it was only going to be about a foot higher than the existing ridge line. And if you go out and have a chance to look at the story poles, they are much higher. And that's why all the neighbors all of a sudden were starting to have palpitations, because both these poles are just way too high. So we just want to make sure, and we thank Joe and Affy for going back and re-looking at these. I know they had a surveyor out and said that they were certified, but this still didn't make sense to us. So we just appreciate that nothing gets really approved until the poles are accurately portrayed on the site, so that we can actually see what it is, what they are truly proposing. Because right now it is just way too massive, and I don't think anybody would be able to live with that. We were also able to discuss the fencing design, you know, with the new addition of the 7.5 feet that's coming out. You know, obviously she wants to enjoy the view, as we all do up there, but there's going to be great, you know, nice big windows up there. And I think there was concern once again, I know we talked about it previously, about possible glare, privacy for all parties involved, that maybe there could be something, for example, with the fence design, to come down a little bit further, give Affy, you know, a little bit more privacy, give everybody else more privacy. That would be great. And so she did say that they would look at that and maybe come back with something different, and we can look at it then. And I know the glass paneling, it just seems from talking to my neighbors that the majority of them aren't in love with the glass paneling for various issues, again, privacy, glare, etc. So if that's something they can look at, that would be, we'd greatly appreciate that as well. But I think the key thing with the, you know, until the story poles are really correct, right now, especially on the Sierra Court side, on 7th Sierra Court, if it's really coming out that 7.5 feet, and then right now it looks like it's at God knows what high, it's big, they're obviously going to feel this major impact as well. So we appreciate them going back and taking a look at that. I think that's pretty much it for me right now, just that we really do need to have some accurate numbers, accurate story poles, to be able to know if this is something that everybody can live with in the neighborhood. So thank you both, and I hope to see the accurate numbers.
Thanks.
Hello. I'm Vivian Jacobs, 169 Stewart Drive. I had written down something so that I would kind of stay for 3 minutes, but I don't see my written correspondence. So I had a lot of questions over from the last time that in February we were not shown plans. We were asked for feedback, and there were not these new plans, so the feedback was the same feedback as the first time round, and basically it's all still here. I don't see, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I don't see this picture of the street, because I think if anyone looks at this, there's a lot. The poles we're talking about here being very high are here. So now that instead of going down the hill, the property is stepping up here. And this level's not right. And the house is all on stilts now. And I really don't understand it. I really am having a very hard time understanding how measurements come one thing one time, different the next time, not correct from the previous owner. There's just too much to address, I believe. I wish to see what I had written already for you, because now I don't know if you've actually seen it or read it.
So I think there was one, there might have been two pieces of late mail that we did receive.
I did two pieces of mail on the 12th of May, and I've been through this thing of late mail. I'm not going there again with the late mail.
two
so
different.
So would they be in the packet rather than a letter
yep.
from May?
They were not in the packet. They came in after the packet was prepared, so we just forwarded those emails directly to the board members. So they received.
I don't think that I can do this. You Tom tells us that the mail to be considered has to be on the end of the working day of the business week before the meeting. Both my correspondents were in by 4:30, yes, but they were there by the end of the business day, and they were the week before the scheduled meeting. I mean,
we received them, so it's not a hard copy in our packet, but we did receive them via email, and we've read them.
Remodel project for 173, which I feel is really more akin to a teardown. I notice a lot of issues I feel need commenting on. I will try to focus on the most concerning to me, which are related to size and structure. The first and most glaring issue is height. According to the plans, the existing height of the property is 24.10 inches. How is this possible? As long-time residents know, and as stated in both sets of plans submitted by Ms. Royo last year, the existing height of the property is 23 feet 7 inches. If they cannot even be correct with such a basic measurement, how are we to trust them with anything else? Similarly, on the plans, they reference the allowed building height as 30 feet. This is yet another error. As in our area of Reed Heights, the neighborhood's DCRs actually have a stated maximum height, building height of 22 feet. A point which has been addressed in great detail with them before, it is now the applicant's burden to address. This brings us to the main point of mentioning the height. The plans state that the proposed height for the new structure would be 25 feet 4 inches. This is an increase of 1 foot 9 inches. From what exists, 23.7. This height is already over CCRs, and while I'm sure none of the neighbors would begrudge allowing the height to remain at the current level, an increase is neither desirable nor acceptable to us as neighbors. The height shown by the current story posts seem to depict an increase that looks much greater than 1.9 being called for. This increase also appears blocky.
Hey, Vivian, I'm sorry. We're over 5 minutes, and I gave you some extra time because we, you know, talked about the late mail and all that. So I would just ask if you could wrap up your comments.
Well, we did read your late mail.
Well,
I can't. I think this is unreasonable. But we did have a meeting with the neighbor where plans were shown to us any different than before, and I feel that we need to.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments for 173 Stewart? Seeing none, we'll invite the applicant back up to 5 minutes to respond to comments raised.
Thank you. I was not involved in the previous application, so I can't attest to the accuracy of those drawings before, but of those proposed designs, but I feel that the data I show on my zoning table is accurate and show what the existing and what the proposed building heights are. With respect to the Mrs. Jantz concerns, we are willing to extend this fence out a little further to try to get a little more privacy for the property. And we're open to the idea of coming up with a different flat trailer design besides glass. We did have a neighborhood meeting back in February that was attended by many, and we are open to, we're going to go figure out what's going on with the story pole heights. I will meet with the surveyor and the story pole builder next week to confirm that. But looking at them, they do look taller than they should be. I think everything's going to come down probably at least a foot to 18 inches from
just want to verify the story pole situation.
Could you just state your name for the record?
Matthew Royer, 172 Stewart Drive. So what happened is that I had a contractor put the story poles up, and when the certifier went out to certify, he said that the story poles were too short and that he needed to extend them. So he made them taller. And so when we're out there tonight, we think that they're too tall, but this is how this all came about. So the good news is hopefully it will go down substantially. And we've tried everything to accommodate all the changes that the neighbors wanted in the past. And as far as the glass decking or railing is concerned, I'm wanting to consider doing the EPE, continue the EPE, so we will not have to have the glass there. So, thank you.
Any questions for the applicant before I bring it back to the board?
No.
Okay. Who'd like to start?
Yeah, I appreciate that the work that the applicant has done, but I think that with this site, there's a fundamental problem that trying to get the maximum floor area and have all the accommodation on the upper floors without changing the lower floor goes really contrary against the hillside design guidelines, and that that's particularly true of the extension where it's cantilevering over the driveway and at the rear. And at the moment, that's screened by all the existing pine trees, but some of those, at least half of them, are coming out, and they won't. The remaining ones won't last forever. And I think once that tree screen is gone, you'll have a house that is just completely against the fundamentals of the hillside design guidelines, with all the bulk on the upper story, not just the two-story, but actually cantilevered out over the against the building. And so, we can't really look at it and say, oh, okay, we can't see it, it's not a problem. I think it has to be addressed. And that hasn't really changed that much from the previous iterations of the design that we saw. So I think it's just, I can't see how you can resolve it without actually having to bite the bullet. If you want to make the house this big, you're going to have to do something to introduce accommodation on the lower story, or even excavate down and put the garage underneath where the existing garage is, so you have a level driveway and use that space. You've got to be more creative in some way. Looking at the upper section of the building, I was disappointed with the way that the living room ceiling has been raised and has pushed the eaves up. I mean, it's quite an unusual design where the whole ceiling is level with the eaves, so the whole eaves height has been raised to so high to push the roof up. If you want high space within the living room, it would be better to keep the eaves the same height as they are at the moment than just open up the space so that you can get the volume that you want without having to have that impact on the neighborhood of raising the roof height. I think those are my two main things at this stage. I'd like to hear what anybody else says.
John?
I agree with what Gordon said. This one, when you look at the plan unto itself, it makes sense for, a three-bedroom house. It's not, I don't think anything is overly big. But again, taking into account the site and how this corner is going to, with the new master bedroom, is going to push itself out toward the street, I am just a little concerned with that. The hillside guidelines, it's actually going reverse. Yeah. And I don't know the. I was trying to take a look at what it would take to work on this lower level under the living room, and it would be quite a bit. And it would certainly change the street frontage too, because it's getting so close to the setback, and how that would work so that it would have egress, which you'd have to have. So I don't know. I think it's better than the other one, because where it touches the ground, on the northwest side is where it does now. So they haven't pushed out there. But again, and the trees that have to come out because of the fire marshal, it's going to open that all up to that. And that's already, I mean, that's really, really tall.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know. I'm a little conflicted here.
Yeah, I actually hadn't picked on Gordon's point, but just in studying the plans, see what he's talking about. To me, being, you know, among the three of us, the architectural layman, you know, to me, the thing that I'm more focused on is really the same things that I was focused on last time. I mean, looking at our minutes from the August meeting, I don't think my view and my take on this has really changed. And it's, John, I absolutely agree with your point that, I mean, it's a challenging site, and I'm not sure how best to solve the problem, because it's the shape and the size of the lot are really limiting factors here. And, you know, the fact that it's just such a tough shape to deal with, combined with the topography. But you're exactly right. It's a really tall house now, and right now it's hiding behind pine trees, and you can't see it. And frankly, you have a hard time seeing the story poles, or at least I do. And, you know, when those trees are gone, I mean, the house that's there now, well, that's one thing, but I think that the degree of inconsistency with the revised house, with the hillside guidelines and, you know, the principles of that the town generally tries to operate by would be more inconsistent. Sorry, the public portion of the hearing's closed. You know, my view is still that, and I think this is resonating with some of the things I've already said, but, you know, putting virtually all of the improvements on the same plate that's on the top floor, I'm not sure it's possible. I'm glad the house was pulled back from the August proposal. But this whole notion of, you know, the cantilevered portion in what is really one of the more sensitive places from the street, I mean, that's going to be just impossible to miss, especially when those trees are gone. So, you know, I'm in the same place that I was in August, in that I personally just don't think it's consistent with the design guidelines or, you know, the other surrounding homes, and I think it have a dramatic impact on Sierra Court. Anything else to add? I mean, it sounds like we're leaning toward a continuance. John, it sounds like you were feeling a little more sympathetic, but at the same time, you know, struggling to support the application.
Yeah.
I mean, look, typically when you have a difficult lot like this and you need to put floor area in, you know, the crawl space is there. And I know that that's not attractive space to use for, you know, view and light and everything else, and not to mention it'd probably require a fair amount of excavation, engineering, et cetera. But in terms of feasibility, you know, that's the path of least resistance, and at least insofar as our jobs go at design review, I think.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We would recommend a continuance to the June 16th meeting.
Does that work for the applicant? Okay.
The meeting after that would be July 7th.
Yeah, just to help us work out dates.
Yeah, we just would like to have a clear direction of items, like a bulleted item list of.
We don't do bulleted item lists, but if you read our minutes from August, and if you read our minutes from tonight, it's that the massing on the upper floor is problematic for us.
On the driveway side.
All of it, I think. I mean, the house is very tall now, and you're proposing to make it taller, and the trees are going to go, and it's going to be more impactful.
You're proposing to make it shorter.
I understand, but the land is falling away, and the house is staying the same, right? So effectively, the apparent height of the house is going to actually increase.
Actually, the overall height of that, if you look at the tables,
uh-huh.
the height is coming down. From the previous design.
Fine,
well,
I understand, but look, we're the view that it's going to be more impactful from the street. And that's, I think, the major issue is putting all of the living space and improvement on the upper floor. So
this
I didn't.
This doesn't bother me.
Yeah, less so. It's more of a cantilever, but, you know.
Yep.
I think it's primarily the driveway overhang is probably the most obvious thing. If there's a proposal along the lines of the living room and modifications to be made,
just
to help the privacy.
Basically, what I'm just trying to get an idea on your views that if we address that issue mainly over the driveway, whether the other sides of the building would be acceptable or not. We wouldn't want to come back.
We'll take a look at it. That doesn't work this way, that we say if you change this, then we'll be fine with everything else. So this isn't a workshop, and this is really just
trying to get your input so we don't have to do another continuation.
It appears that the Stewart Drive side of it isn't particularly an issue.
Correct.
Correct.
Right.
And the side facing Ms. Assad's isn't particularly an issue. It's the part facing Sierra.
The driveway side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically what I was trying to get.
Okay. Fair enough.
To continue to the July 7th meeting, we would need a verbal assurance at least to grant the extension of the Permit Streamlining Act deadlines to do that so that we can give you more time, enough time to address that.
Can you say that again?
The Permit Streamlining Act deadline for this application would end on June 27th, I think. So to go to another meeting, will give us another 90 days of time to process it so that we can go and put it on the July 7th meeting.
So you need revised?
We just need an assurance that you grant that extension, and then we'll need revised plans by June 27th. Okay.
And in order to get for the June meeting, you would need them probably.
We would need them by June 6th.
Would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, with respect to 173 Stewart Drive, that it's continued to the July 7th meeting.
Seconded? Johnson.
Oh, second. Sorry.
All in favor?
Sorry.
Aye.
I'm already off on the next.
All against, none. So with that, we'll be continued for 173 Stewart. Last item on tonight's agenda is 101 Howard Drive. We'll give the applicants a minute or two to transition over. This is yours, right? And yeah, here you can. It's got scribbling, but
that one's clean.
Thank you.
Chris Norris, homeowner, 101 Howard Drive. Thank you for taking the time to hear the present our project. Let us present our project to the board. What I've put on the table here is some larger renderings that are also in the packet in front of you of the proposed completed project of the fence at the corner of Howard and Hillary, with vantage points from both Howard Drive, Hillary Drive, as well as the intersection at the corner there. The solid privacy fence will be stained in a dark charcoal stain, semi-transparent stain, and landscaped with a mixed succulent planting as well as salvia. We're very pleased with the design. It's in keeping with the aesthetic of our newly completed renovation. And we feel the project not only greatly improves the visual appeal of our home, but also due to the setback that was required by the building permit, it's greatly improved the safety and visibility when turning onto Howard Drive from Hillary. As you can see from the pictures in the packet, which is, if you flip through, the prior fence was close to 40 years old, was well overgrown, and was dilapidated. Also in the packet, you'll find the original inspection report from the purchase of our home in 2011, which specifies that the fence will has deteriorated posts and overgrowth. With the exception of Mr. O'Connor, whose complaint we're considering tonight, we've received nothing but strong positive feedback from the entire neighborhood. As you can see in the packet, we have 19 signatures of approval from neighbors on both Hillary Howard Drive as well as the larger Del Mar neighborhood. And most importantly in that signature list, every home that has a direct vantage point of the new fence has signed in approval of it being there. Throughout the Del Mar neighborhood, you'll see that the fences, there's many fences that fit the same height and aesthetic. And both, in fact, at 410 Hillary, which is directly across the street from us, they have a horizontal fence that is stained dark gray. The original plan we submitted in 2013 was done prior to a complete exterior renovation of the house, which included new windows and doors fronting the Howard side of our property. In the packet, you'll see there's some pictures of the house lit up at night from the vantage point of the fence. The original open lattice design would result in a very limited amount of privacy in the home in the evenings. The built fence is the same height, constructed of the same materials, and at the same location that was originally approved. And really, the only reason that the original design was amended was for privacy concerns. It was an unintended oversight that the revision did not make its way back through the planning department prior to the building department. But it was not an intended deception. In the packet, you can see the approved building permit shows the fence as built in what was approved for our building permit. We ask that the board side with the presiding neighborhood opinion and approve the as built fence.
No questions for the applicant? Okay, thanks. Public comments for the fence at 101 Howard?
Staff, thank you. I heard.
Sorry, if you could just start with your name and address.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Thank you.
I'm Douglas R. O'Connor. Sent a letter to you folks. I sent a letter to the town, which I think is in your records, in your presentation. I heard a comment. Pardon me. I heard statement a moment ago that plans submitted now had been approved. Is that what was said?
Yes, something along those lines. I think it was approved as part of the building permit, but we're most interested not about the process, but about your comments about the design.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to be clear that the plans have not, excuse me, the plans have not been approved.
If you could direct your questions back to me and just keep your comments to the design. We're not, I don't think, particularly interested in the process of whether something is approved or not, because we're being asked to approve it now. So
right.
we'd like your thoughts on the design of the fence.
Good, all right.
Thanks.
As you're aware, 3 years ago, a custom open lattice fence was approved and a permit was issued thereon. That lattice fence was to be 6 foot in height, as is the as-built fence. That is the only similarity. Now we have, the open lattice fence was to be redwood. What we have now is not redwood. What we have now, instead of a 6 foot vertical slat fence at the front of Hillary, we have 4x4 sections, horizontal, much more unattractive, or more unattractive than the 6 foot intended vertical at Hillary. And the same fence construction, 4 foot horizontal sections are now present on Howard, which should have been 2x2 on center, 6 inch separations within the 8 foot section approved 3 years ago. I submit to you, gentlemen, that had the plan, the as-built fence, plans for the as-built fence been submitted to you or your predecessors, it would not have been approved then. And I suggest to you that approval of such now, in blatant disregard of that previous permit, should not be condoned or the norm. I'm sure at least one of you gentlemen have inspected the fence and observed that it is bulky. It is on Howard Street, it is 122 feet in linear length. Nothing breaking it in that distance. It plain and simply is unattractive, should not have been built that way, and should not be approved at this juncture.
I'm going to ask you to wrap up your comments. We're coming up on the 5 minute mark. Thank you.
Surely. My final observation would be that the 30-inch covering vegetation would leave on a 6 foot fence the difference of 42 inches. Uncovered by vegetation and apparently painted by or with a dark slate gray. In fact, if you people have the colored version, what I received tonight here is not the Berg Fence Company's catalog, which was submitted to the town, and hopefully you people have reviewed. The point being that the so-called slate gray, by a designated number, is almost black.
So we're at 6 minutes, so I'm going to ask you to be done.
Wrap her up. Be happy to. I appreciate your gentlemen's consideration.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll be brief in my rebuttal.
Excuse me. You want to just double check to see if there's anybody in the public?
Yes, sorry. Are there any other public comments for 101 Howard? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the applicant. Thanks.
I'll be brief. The fence is indeed built in redwood material, as was the original fence. I'm not sure why that is not believed to be the case. But, you know, this complaint is just an ongoing demonstration of the nuisance Mr. O'Connor has demonstrated throughout the process of our entire renovation. He's wasted the time of this building department, the planning department, my construction team. You know, he has every major project that's been going on in our neighborhood over the course of the last 2 years. Mr. O'Connor's filed some sort of complaint. Starting at 104 Howard to 20 Rowley Circle, our home at 101 Howard, and now 100 Howard. As homeowners, we all take great pride in our neighborhood. We're all reinvesting in the Del Mar neighborhood to make it a better place for our families, as well as to improve the property values in that neighborhood. We hope the board's decision will send a message that progress in the neighborhood is a good thing and not something that should be met with as adversarial commentary. Thank you.
Thanks. With that, we'll bring it back to the board. We'd like to start.
You know, it's sort of nondescript. And driving around there, it becomes the major structure on the site. The house is subservient to it. My disappointment is that the design is monotonous, and it's just so much of the same. There's not even a description where the entry is. As an architect, I find that appalling, but this is a fence. I have been to that intersection many times when my kids went to Del Mar. It's a busy intersection. It's really public, a lot of traffic, and so I can understand the privacy concern.
Yeah, looking around, going around the neighborhood, I mean, particularly Howard, is many more hedges than fences, but there are a lot of fences and the junctions, and this is obviously, there's more of it because it's a corner site, and it just goes around for a long way. But they're also on the junction when you get to Avenida Miraflores, the corner lots all had fences too, and they were similar height. And I think one of the disappointing things, I suppose, the plans, the landscaping that's proposed looks very nice. But I think actually, if it was greener and higher, it would look better because. It would screen the fence more, and it would be more in keeping with some of the other. I can see a reason for keeping it down on that corner junction, but maybe there's a different treatment, so it's not the same all the way along. I don't whether this fence looks worse than a lattice fence. I think if there was a lattice fence, probably it would be planting inside, giving you the screening. I think in terms of the functionality for the and the privacy concerns, and not particularly the noise concerns, I can understand why the applicant would prefer to have a solid fence.
sections in it. It would break it up, help to break it up.
Yeah, I visited the site. I drove around, you know, the neighborhood, because I've never really paid attention much to, you know, fences in that vicinity for any reason prior to now. And yeah, you're right. There is a lot of greenery, hedges, things like that is more, you know, the norm. There are definitely other examples of, you know, everything is 6 feet or taller.
Yeah.
And there are other examples of fences, you know, some of which are not even kind of like the earth tone like that's proposed here. So, you know, I do think it's kind of a minimalist kind of design that, you know, that aesthetic, you know, is I think part of what, you know, the applicant's going for, which, you know, I think explains a lot of the, you know, lack of detail and you know, notation of, well, here's the gate other than, you know, the sidewalk leading up to it. So, you know, from an aesthetic standpoint, I don't have any problem with it. I do wish that maybe it had, you know, some more landscaping to help, you know, cover it up, break it up, et cetera. You know, because it's a lot of mass. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I don't have to look too far to find other examples of things that are quite similar. And with respect to Mr. O'Connor's, you know, assertions that it's less attractive, you know, I'm not sure that it's less attractive than Lattice. And that's, you know, very subjective. You know, I agree that it does have, you know, some bulk and some length, you know, kind of along the monotony that we're talking about. But, you know, I think the fence itself would be fine to leave as is, you know, particularly if it were supplemented with some landscaping with just some more height. And not everywhere, but just, you know, periodically to break it up, things like that.
Yeah. We would note that the fence is in the right-of-way, and so the area outside it was also in the town right-of-way. And there are limitations that the Public Works Department has for landscaping that's close to the right-of-way just from a visibility standpoint.
Right.
So perhaps further away from the intersection, it's possible. But if you wanted to put some sort of a condition for additional height of the landscaping, but it'd be subject to review by the, you know, the Public Works Department as part of the encroachment permit.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys brought that up, because I think, you know, just in front of a few panels would help break that one long monotonous line.
Yeah.
In that interest, and, you know, if the corner needs to be avoided for visibility and safety reasons, you know, so be it.
Yeah.
There's the most space between
right.
there and the road anyway, but just, you know, some selective plantings, I think, that, you know, go 4, 6, 8 feet up or something like that, you know, would just help and add some interest and just break it up. And I think that's easily achievable. I mean, it's a matter of, you know, I think staff working with the applicant to pick a few 15 gallons and, you know, leave it at that. But to me, I mean, that's, you know, I'd be inclined to support, you know, something like that, but I'd otherwise propose to leave the fence as is. I think it's going to be, you know, attractive enough, and I certainly understand the desire for privacy. And, you know, there's certainly no issue with not having built a previously pulled permit. That's the applicant's prerogative whether to build once permit's built or not. So that's an abandoned permit. So it's not really relevant to the new permit. Was that enough direction, Dan?
Yeah, we were thinking of a condition that would state that the landscaping outside the fence shall utilize plantings of increased height to the satisfaction of the Planning Division and the Public Works Department.
Yeah, subject to their approval.
Yeah.
I think that works. And does that sound reasonable enough to the applicant?
Yeah, you know, my
Okay. And they'll probably be more sensitive about the corner, I would guess, because that's where you're, you know, looking
yeah.
for kids, dogs, whatever, coming to the intersection. But.
So.
Okay. Does that suffice for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Who'd like to make a motion?
Sure. With respect to 101 Howard Drive, it's very good. I have to mention CEQA for this thing. that we approve the fence as built, subject to the attached conditions, the condition about the planting.
The staff memo actually does say we should review the project and determine if it's done.
Oh, it's exempt from CEQA.
Thank you.
That's the right conclusion, Gordon. And you said subject to the additional?
Yes.
Okay. Who'd like second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. Thanks. Last item on tonight's agenda is adoption of the minutes from the May 5th, 2016 meeting. I actually did have, might just be one comment, I'm not sure. Actually, I think the town is going to keep those, and they're going to put them in the file of stuff we were given. Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments
did
on
you
the
want
minutes?
Wonderful.
I did.
You know, I just scan them. I don't do as good a job as Linda does. But on page 3, this is very minor. Down on the paragraph that begins Chris Miller, first sentence, the styles of East Street did not address her.
Chris
the next line
Chris
says
can
she.
Go either way.
No, but the last next line says she.
Fair enough.
Oh, I had.
So my comment's a little more substantive, and it's at the page 14, second to last paragraph, five lines from the bottom, the line that begins with bakery and Wells Fargo. So what I meant to say is, and he encouraged the wall sign program to follow that format along with the blade signs, because what I was trying to say is that, you know, it'd be great if the wall signs followed the type of motif that they're now using for Wells and Rustic for the rest of the wall signs. And then, sure, in addition to that, carry that through with the blades. Okay. I think that's right. I think that gets it across. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. In that case, we will adjourn.
We haven't approved them yet.
Oh, sorry. We need to approve them. Who'd like to approve the minutes?
Okay. I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the dissolution of board meeting on May the 5th, subject to the attached comments on them.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. We are adjourned. Thank you.